Buenos dias. Welcome to the People Power Everything podcast. I am your host, John Dallas, and I believe that there is power in the masses. The goal of this podcast is to talk about that power, how we can help it manifest itself for all of us, and some lessons I've learned along the way. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast where I talk about people power. And you'll say, you talk about people power every week, and I hope I do. But this week, it's people's power to reduce stress and increase engagement. And for me, it's really important to have good people around me in all aspects of my life. And good does not mean positive all the time. It means people that are supportive, who can challenge me, who support my goals and make me feel joy in my life. And sometimes that means arguing. I like to debate. I like people who challenge me. I like the fact that I don't know everything and I love to learn. So challenge me. Don't always say, yes, you're right, because to me, that's honestly boring. So let's get into it. While thinking about my experiences this week, I was considering what I wanted to share. And at the end of the week, I felt myself drawn to think about moments of stress that are all too common in our lives. We all have them. Amidst these, I felt a really deep-seated need to recognize my team and the invaluable support they provide. Every week, I go to work every day, and there are amazing people there. And even though some things are stressful, some things aren't fun, we have challenges, we meet them together. And a great thing that happens at the end of the week, for me anyways, I hope the rest of the team feels this way, but for me, getting everybody onto a video conference on a Friday afternoon to share great things that happened, quick updates, and some recognition around, you know, thanks for supporting me in everything you do. It contributes a lot to maintaining my mental well-being. And I think it does for others as well in terms of just that support. I shared a link, which I share probably once a month, on job needs control theory. Kara Seck and Theorel, if you're interested, 1990, where it's all about how to make sure somebody is not in an unhealthy work environment by giving them choice, either autonomy over what they do, how they do it, when they do it, or support. And hopefully that or is an and support. But that support is a key factor in any job. If you're in a stressful job with little control, those exist, then the most important thing is to have support. Have at least one person there who can listen to you, sympathize with you, empathize with you, and help you at least understand what you're going through, even if you can't change anything. It's the key, is to have that at least one person. If it's more than one person, great, but at least one is super, super important. I can't say enough about it. I was listening to a Bit of Optimism podcast by Simon Sinek. And he was talking, the episode is called Live to 100 with Blue Zones Explorer Dan Buettner. It's a really good book, by the way. If you can pick up the book and read it, it's awesome. But he mentions key behaviors of people who lived the longest in the world. And they did studies all over the world. And there's certain areas they call blue zones where people live a lot longer than average. One of the examples that he gave was mealtime with family and friends. And contrary to what we hear a lot about people doing is going to dinner. And that's not the important meal. He finds in areas where people live the longest, the meal that is actually most important is lunch. Midday, sitting down with friends, family, it breaks up the day, it reduces stress, thus cortisol. And sharing a good meal with others gives an opportunity to share how the day is going so far, what, you know, what's good, what's bad, how can we help? And it's the same thing if you can do it at work. You know, sit down, have lunch. And there's all sorts of data about lunch should actually be bigger than supper, and supper should be very small, and breakfast should be actually the biggest meal of the day, and you should have them all within 10 hours of each other. There's different specific things that you can do to live longer, but I'll let you explore that. A core insight they also found was change your environment, not your behavior. When we give people the right surroundings, they adapt to it. If it's positive, then the people live the positive changes automatically. They talk about how behavioral changes are hard. And if you've tried to change a habit or a behavior, especially when the environment stays the same and pushes us in the wrong direction, it makes it really difficult to change a habit. And it made me think of a quote that I heard on the internet a few times. I don't know who to attribute it to, so maybe you can help me on that. But it says, when a flower doesn't bloom, do you blame the flower or the environment? And it's true. If a plant's not doing well, you don't blame the plant. You do things to change the environment in which it's evolving. And we should do that with people. I like that saying because it shifts our perspective to root causes instead of symptoms. A lot of companies, and bless them, are putting a lot of emphasis on mental health and support around that. So hopefully you have benefits that include mental health. And you know, therapy, I encourage you, do therapy. Even if you don't think you need it, it's helpful. Or at least learn how to talk about your emotions with friends. It really, really helps. Even if you don't want to be completely vulnerable, and there's different ways of being vulnerable. You don't have to be share everything vulnerable, but you can be vulnerable in I'm having a hard time, I need some help kind of vulnerable, which is a good thing. So companies have gotten good at supporting that, but I find they still have a few steps to go. They have the step of removing the initial stressor in the first place. So teaching somebody to deal with stress, okay, good, make for resilient people, that's awesome. But how about you work on removing the stressful events in the first place? That to me is where the heart of the issue is and where they can really make gains, because we know that somebody who goes off work because of a mental health issue is gone for a lot longer than somebody who has a physical issue. You fall, you sprain your ankle, you even break a limb. I mean, I don't wish that on anybody and hope your workplace has health and safety as, you know, a priority. Is it the top priority? That's debatable, but at least a priority. I hope it's there, but include mental health as well. You know, there are behaviors that cause bad mental health, and there are behaviors that cause good mental health. And that should be something we look at in our companies and in our daily lives, is how do we support good mental health instead of making people deal with it? So little step to go. And if you're in any of those companies in HR or any leadership position, I hope you take that to heart and you make a change that is positive towards that direction. But luckily, there are people around to help, and they are part of the solution to making work environments healthier. We are part of the solution to making work environments healthier, obviating at least partially the need for all the extra support and expensive benefits, not to mention the time lost to mental health absenteeism. It's a big deal in some companies. In other companies, if your people aren't taking that time off, it might be even worse because presenteeism, they're not totally productive. They can be counterproductive. They could be having a hard time at home. It could be affecting their lives for years to come. So take the time. And if you need the time, take the time. And hopefully your company is supporting that. I certainly, if you're on my team and you're hearing this, and if you need a mental health day, take a mental health day. We'll support you in that, in coming back stronger, healthier, feeling better, more positive. And that'll produce great results. We know that. So coming back to the end of my week, where I told my entire IT team, I was so happy to see their smiling faces every Friday afternoon. No matter what's going on, we're living it together. And the close-knit culture of people who always want to help, it extends out from our professional lives. We've developed friendships that make us stronger. We share our highs and lows at work and beyond. We form bonds that will last way longer than our careers. Some of us, as I mentioned, even worked remotely together in Mexico, building very close relationships and also giving each other the opportunity to experience something we may not have done on our own. It's something that everyone I talk to is envious of, not only that we could escape the cold of a Canadian winter, but have an amazing experience together, and that we could do it with people we work with. Some were concerned that it would be difficult for us to stop working at the end of the day, which sometimes, honestly, it was. We probably worked longer hours than we would have at home. And because when you work together and you have dinner together, you know, the subjects come up. You tend to keep talking about work and how we can make things better. This is just part of what we do. But we made a choice, a conscious, very conscious choice, to try and limit it, which I'll say we're kind of semi-successful. But something that I've been trying to do for a long time is working remotely as a team. And if you think about it, whenever a company does, you know, a leader offsite retreat or an out of town meeting, or bringing people from another city into a city and all having dinner together, it's all the same. And I've been trying to put something together since I read a book called The Year Without Pants: WordPress and the Future of Work by Scott Berkin. I've read it, it's probably 10 years ago now. But at the time, I was already working remotely most of the time. Sometimes, you know, I went to Florida for a while and worked from there. But if we're traveling across the country with teams across the country, I could work in Montreal, I could work in Toronto, I could work in Ottawa, wherever there was a good internet connection. And already many of my colleagues were doing the same, and we loved it. It was something that was a great perk to us. And in the book, the first thing Matt Mullenweg, who's the CEO of WordPress parent company Automattic, suggests to Scott to get to know his new team is to take a trip to Athens. And Scott asks him, like, Athens, Georgia? And he's, no, Athens, Greece. Get out. Go for a week. Take your team. Go somewhere that you guys have never been, and that everybody's together the whole time. And the idea is to work and play together for the whole week, spending that intense week that will build a strong relationship right off the bat for a team that we're all remote. They're all in different cities, even different countries. And in a former job of mine, we would do something similar at the beginning of large projects. We'd get everybody together in the same city to spend some intense days kicking things off. We'd get to know each other, we'd eat together, we'd have meetings together, we'd maybe do some activities, some playful activities together, and we'd build relationships. And this served us very well over the months following, when we were on conference calls all day together with teams across the country. And this was before video conferencing and Zoom, so it was literally a teleconference. But we spent time with each other, not only working, but eating, playing, as I said, which was very well spent. And my time in Mexico did the same for the three colleagues who went, and we're already being propositioned to do it again with more people. More people want to join us, and this was on our own dime. And for me, if I can get companies to pay for this kind of thing, I think it'd be super worth it, especially in companies that are very remote or reducing real estate to save a bunch of money. A part of that money could go to paying for people to be together for just a little while. And in my former job, we'd do it about every 6 months, and it was enough. It was enough to build connections and build strong relationships that would bring us through projects that were very successful. And when we really think about it, like I said, companies do this with offsite meetings and retreats, not to mention like sales conferences or things called president's clubs or things like that, where they bring employees and sometimes their better halves to somewhere exotic, Bermuda, Mexico. You know, these are things that happen and are seen as great recognition. So if we just did it on our own, of our own accord and initiative, I think that's a really, really good thing. And in the end, everything amazing in our lives, everything we do, is about people. The people who surround us at home and at work. Sometimes it's the same people. But they're key to our well-being and motivation. There's I'd have to look up the article, but there's a very long longitudinal study out of Harvard about what makes a good life, what people are positive about at the end of their lives, and it's the relationships. Nobody's tombstone says, "I should have worked harder." nobody's tombstone says, you know, made the monthly numbers. It's was a good father, son, brother, mother, sister, and was a great part of the community. These are things that really motivate long term. It's a great purpose. People are a great purpose. And that's why I keep saying people power everything, because they do. Thank you for listening to my little people rant this week. I really enjoyed the articles that underlined the importance of social circles around us. And it's something that I wanted to communicate, and some of the things that I've been doing to be closer to people and realize that even though I can be an introvert, I can, you know, want to stay home alone certain days, and it just feels good to do that. It also feels good to get out to see people, just to be with people. And I've done it through a friend of mine, Ruck, who brought me to junior hockey games. And it's an experience that we have with thousands of people around us. And even if we're not talking to everybody, there is that opportunity. But it's also just an opportunity to feel that we're part of something common. And that is something that that is very positive mentally. And the same thing for what I do here is sharing. And when you guys send me an email and give me some feedback, I love it. So on that, if you have any feedback or want to send me a quick note, john@peoplepowereverything.com, and I will be happy to read you and happy to respond. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day and week ahead. Love you.